Surviving Life with the Vambillies is about a Christian perspective on everyday challenges surrounding work, family, and marriage.
The aim of this program is to equip you through the use of scripture with the right survival tools for life and all that it brings.
If you're just joining us this week, we're doing a part two of Reading the Times. So last week we spoke a little bit about how God can speak to us through anything. Donkeys, children, trees, and even numbers. And Danny, you actually touched on something that's happened this year that's quite significant when we speak about Reading the Times. What's happening in politics with politicians is incredibly important to understand what's going on in the spirit realm. So I always say this because this is how I interpret what I'm seeing in the word, when the word says on earth as it is in heaven. How that comes across to me is that everything is spiritual before it becomes physical. And sometimes I use the example of a woman being pregnant, that you know you're pregnant before you take the pregnancy test a lot of the times. Not for everybody, but why do you take the test? Because sometimes you just have that feeling. And for some women, the signs haven't even begun yet. You're not nauseous yet. Sometimes you've not even missed your period, but you just feel, I don't feel like myself today. And that can be a sign that something is already touching your spirit man that's saying, hey, there's new life here. That's why I don't feel like myself. So you were talking about Queen Elizabeth. So we're talking about the passing of Queen Elizabeth. And later I'm going to touch on another king, but that's a local king as well. And it's important that both those things, those transitions, if you will, of power, have taken place in the same season. So in this season, we've had a transfer of kingly, queenly, royal. There's a turnover in who is taking rulership in kingdoms. And that is a sign of what the Lord is saying as well.
Yes. What's interesting with this particular season is we are seeing things that God told us would happen come to pass. And we are also hearing words coming out from different people globally that's confirming the same word. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll never forget somewhere beginning of this year where my wife actually came to me and said she had a dream where the Lord showed her the passing away of the queen.
Actually, it was a vision.
It was a vision.
It was a waking vision in January. And I came to Danny and I said, I think I'm going nuts. I heard the Lord say she would pass on this year and this is what it means. And so...
And what did God say it will mean?
A shift. A complete shift in stronghold. I'm trying to say this as calmly as I probably as I can. Every ruler has their mandate, okay, if I can put it that way. And that mandate will last for as long as they are in rulership. So when things are spiritual before they're physical, it means that within that mandate, they hold certain things in place, not just physically. You know, for example, now with the passing of the Queen of England, when Charles got indicted in, he then changed everyone's titles. You know, even Harry and Meghan's children's titles changed. Why didn't they change when the Queen was in power? Well, because she had a different mandate. And so she ruled differently. So with her passing, it means that certain strongholds as well have also shifted. And what the Lord was telling me about is that there would be a global shift because a huge pillar would move. And once that pillar moves, it would mean that things that could not be done before, like, for example, the changing of the titles, are now going to happen, but from a spiritual place where each person has their mandate. That mandate is now removed for a new mandate. Now, even here, we are based in Pretoria, South Africa. In South Africa, we had the passing and the changing of hands of the Zulu King and the Zulu Kingdom. So it's a tribe in South Africa. It's very interesting that two royal homes or places lost kings and queens that reigned for years. So in South Africa, the Zulu King reigned for 50 years. And then Queen Elizabeth, I believe, reigned for 69 to 70 years. Now, the crowning of a king and a queen is not done every day. So if you think, for example, of Queen Elizabeth, she was queen when my mother and my mother-in-law were born. She was queen when we were born. And she was queen when my children were born. So whoever saw her crowning in 1926, I believe it is, or whenever that was, 1960-something,
yeah, sorry. She was 96, right?
Yes, when she passed on. When whoever saw her crowning 70 years ago might actually not be alive. Mm-hmm. It's one of those once-in-a-lifetime things that signify that there is a shift. So I remember from the South African perspective, to see a local king shift, and a kind of global family that's recognized globally shift, was the Lord saying, I'm changing, I'm exchanging hands. There's a transfer of rulership, a transfer of ownership, a transfer of power. Because when God is speaking of a season, it's not just for two royal homes. It's for everybody. Hence why we started with the signs of the time and being able to read what God is saying, move. That thing you're supposed to do, somebody that's watching this just felt this right now, move on that thing, on that real estate deal, move. Move into that job, kill the imposter syndrome. It is your season to be crowned. The Lord is releasing crowns upon people's heads. Do not be afraid to step up to the throne. You have walked a journey with the Lord. That means He will guide you in everything that you're supposed to do. You are not too small. You are not too insignificant. It is the season where God has mandated that the things that were standing still, the dead dreams are coming back to life. Go back to that thing, that business that died, you know, when Peter and them were fishing and all of them. They were fishing in the same place that whole night. It wasn't where they were, but it was who they were with. And sometimes you fail in a thing because you're there, but you're there not in the right season, not in the right positioning. And sometimes Jesus enters the chat, and that's the only difference. You are still in the same place. You are still the same person, but your countenance has shifted because Jesus has given a word. And that well that was giving nothing is about to spring forth a lot of life. And that is the season. That those dead things that were being held down by strongholds you may not even have been aware of, that has shifted. And the doors are opening and those opportunities are there for you to move. If you think it's strange that you are being called to a position you never thought you even qualified for, then look around you and realize that everything is shifting. It's not just you. It's in the news. It's in finances. You know, we've seen what's happening in the financial markets as well. And so begin to see that it is your time to shift into a new season. You know, often when we're speaking of a new year, Danny said earlier, it's a new year. It's also a new season where God is working in a peculiar way. It is the, why is it peculiar? Because can you imagine a kingdom that's had one ruler for 70 years. When that shifts, it's strange. You don't even know. I mean, when you sing for 70 years, God save our queen. Now they have to say king. And the Lord is calling some of you to be kings. Okay. He's calling you to be kings. Step up in your kingly rulership. There's a shift that has happened and just walk in it. Enter by obedience.
And understand something. Another thing, even before the deaths, God was telling us that He's going to crown new kings and new queens in His kingdom. And what we've seen this last 2 to 3 years is that men and women of God who have not taken Him seriously, who have abused the body of Christ, have been moved out. Slowly and surely, you are seeing charlatans who were here, especially in South Africa. We've seen some of them get kicked out, some of them get arrested. You know, every other day, you'll be reading about, you know, people getting arrested, pastors getting arrested. And it looks like, oh my goodness, all these bad things are happening in the church. But no, it's a cleanup. God is cleaning up the house. And a lot of people who thought they were getting away with it are now realizing that no, God gives you a chance to repent. And when you don't repent, He Himself takes action. You know, we've created, I'm sorry to say it this way, but I'm just going to be as direct as possible. We've created a God who is catered to our every desire. You know,
like a genie.
He's a genie. He's a sweet little thing, you know, that you just talk to. It's all about love and emotion and touchy-feely feelings. Not realizing that this is God. He's a king. He's not just a lamb. He's a lion. And when it reaches a point where the lion must come out, you're going to regret putting God in that position. Rather change when He's still dealing with you through grace. Rather change when you're being given an opportunity to repent privately. Do not wait for God to deal with you publicly.
Yeah, and I think what you're saying about the image that's painted of God, that He's only love. God is a lot of things. Love is His character, it's who He is. And He loves us out of all these things, right? But He has a time. If you look in Scripture, what happened with David when he was given the warning, when he was, and it was private, actually.
Yeah.
And he heeded to it, right?
Yeah.
But what would have happened if he did it? Scripture says, because you've committed this act, it's worthy of death, but because you've been repentant at heart, you will not die. Mm. And it instead went to, you know, the son and all of that. But what I'm trying to say about that is God also gives warnings. You know, when we speak about reading the times, it's a touchy thing in the body. And I'm not sure why. Maybe because we're just used to happy, clappy words that say, oh, you're going to get money, you're going to get cars, you're going to be okay. But God does come and require us to do certain things in obedience that align with the kingship of Him over your life. Because at the end of the day, the word comes with direction. So if I tell you, you're going to, okay, if I give you the car's word, oh, you're going to get great cars. God will then come and say, well, the car is next door. If you don't go next door, you then can't get the car. It doesn't mean that He's evil, but it means that He positioned things ahead of time for you. And if you don't align with that thing, you can't come and say He's an evil God. He's not an evil God. He's a loving God. But a warning comes with direction to avoid it. To say, there is a car, but go next door to get the car. If you don't go next door to get the car, this is a car season, and the car will move. That's all it is, right? And when you talk about bad things sometimes happen and it can be God, I love Moses. If you watch the show with us often, I will refer to Moses and Pharaoh forever. Maybe it's just the season. But that was a disaster. Moses and Pharaoh are a tragedy for me because they were family. They grew up together. There's no reason, logical reason, that they should end up that way. And earlier I was writing something, and it's sensitive to the world and insensitive to the word. That's what's happening a lot now. We're very sensitive. If someone says to you, call me by this pronoun, you're going to do it. Why? Because you're sensitive to that person's emotions. You're sensitive to what they feel about them. It doesn't have to be real to you. But we've created a world where you will consider how this thing makes a person feel before you consider anything else. But it's interesting that with all the sensitivity we have to what's going on in the world, we lose the sensitivity of what's happening in the word. So my sensitivity is, God, why did you have to do Moses like that? You know, that was his brother. They took him in. They did him right. But is that sensitive to God's plan for Moses when he was sent to the house of Pharaoh? No, because when you think about it, Moses' exit, his grand, talk about a grand exit. He left with the people, millions. Moses' grand exit caused the downfall and the death of his family. That was his brother. That was his nephew. That was the only kingdom he knew. When the firstborns died, those were his neighbors and his friends. But the disasters that happen in the world is symbolic of a new thing. It's not always this terrible thing, hence walking by faith and not by sight, because sometimes you'll see things and just say, oh, it's terrible. Everything is crashing globally. Everyone is. But then the truth is, as an Israelite, and that's what happened in the desert. Well, we were under Pharaoh. At least we were eating. At least we knew what tomorrow looked like. Because when you focus on what's going on and the disaster that ensued for you guys to leave, you can miss out on the fact that it had to happen that way. And this earlier this week, we were actually talking about how I felt the Lord saying some of the disasters we go through and how disastrous it actually is not for you. It's not about Moses and Pharaoh and their strained relationship. Oh, how tragic. It was about the generations to come. There had to be a grand severing, even death. You know, when I was reading scripture once, I saw that every death is a sign, every birth is a sign. So whenever there's a birth, God is saying something. Whenever there's a death, God is saying something. And even Jesus had to physically die for the new covenant. So whenever something dies, something new is also coming. Whenever something is born, something new is also coming. The question is, are you sensitive enough to know what that new thing is so that you can be aligned with your car next door? Where is the car? So we like the good words, right? You're going to get a car. Where in the world is that car? And God, how will you lead me? Ironically, God doesn't typically say, I'm giving you a car, go to England and fetch the car. Typically, it's, I'm giving you a car, now tomorrow, go help someone in Kenya. And you're like, wait, what does that have to do with the car? He's like, just go to Kenya. You get to Kenya and someone says, hey, I have a brother in Uganda. And you feel a peace. Okay, well, God sent me to you, so again, let's go together. And there's your car in Uganda. So the life of just obedience, it's not this big burden on you. In French, they say fardeau. I love the word fardeau because it's so heavy on the tongue. You can feel the burden. It's not your burden to carry what the season is. That's the thing. Reading the times, it's not your burden. It's not how it's sounding. It's not you must live in a monastery and just watch the news and see what's happening. It's that God will always lead you in the way that's for his perfect will. And it is effortless. It actually is. When you hear God saying to move, as you move, you align. As you move, you align. In fact, many times after you move, you will then see the news and say, oh, that makes sense. This is why. And the call to say reading the times is just to stay close to God. Stay in relationship.
Stay in obedience. Yeah. Because a lot of you believe until the next thing happens. You know, and that's not obedience. Obedience is staying where God told you to be for as long as he tells you to be there in the way he told you to do it. You know, we can't make faith so emotional. You will not like it. You will not always enjoy doing God's will. But you must find joy in it. It must sustain you that you are still positioned. Even though there's fire, even though you can't see what's the next thing you're going to do or how it's going to happen. But knowing that he's spoken should sustain you. And I believe that we are going into a time where the word will come to pass for those who stood on it. It's not going to be blanket statements anymore. You know, you're not going to hide behind the prayers of your pastors, your church, your corporate prayers, people that you're walking with. But God is going to hold you accountable to the word that he gave you individually. If you look in scripture, you'll find what Moses was told, what Esther was told, what David was told, it's not the same. But everyone had to carry their personal cross. You cannot say, because I know Pastor Who, because I've been prayed for and I had hands laid on me by whichever prophet, then I don't have a responsibility to walk on it daily. That I don't have a responsibility to position myself where God told me to be. You, as a person, woman, man, boy, girl, grandmother, grandfather, husband, wife, obedience will be the key in this season. Obedience will lead to you seeing the hand of God. So if you've been walking in disobedience, this will be the right time to repent. To repent, and repent does not mean just say you are sorry. It means realign yourself and go back and do what God told you to do. Are you hearing me? Make that U-turn. And if there are things, maybe God told you to resign from work, better resign. If he told you to start a business, better start that business. If he told you to rest, better take that rest, because it's in your obedience that you will find your provision for the next season. If you're walking in disobedience, it will not be there. And you will ask yourself, where is God? As if God was not waiting for you where he told you to go. You will miss God because you didn't go where he told you to go. This word is not going to be those nice ones. Go and do what God told you to do. That's it. Stop making up excuses. Stop giving us stories. You know, there's always excuses for not doing what God told you to do. No, I was tired. No, I was this. Oh, I was waiting for. Well, if God didn't tell you to wait for anything, go do the thing.
Yeah, victory is not always warfare. Sometimes victory is a doing.
Yes.
Can you imagine if Esther was told, hey, you have to do that. You have to go to the king. No, I'm just going to fast. I'm going to pray about it. And as the Lord leads, we'll see what we do. No, there's an action. And I pray for everyone that has watched today that God will lead you into the action that you are supposed to perform in this season to get you to exactly where he promised you you would be.
God loves you. God cares for you. His grace is sufficient. Get back in obedience. We love you. And thank you for joining us here on Surviving Life with the Vambilis.
Thank you for joining us on Surviving Life with the Vambilis.
Remember that you can join us every Tuesday at 6 p.m. to hear the entirety of the show, 30 minutes uninterrupted.
And tomorrow from 11 to 1 p.m., you can tune in for our discussions where we get to hear from you and discuss the topic further.
You can WhatsApp us during the live show using 071-364-0376 so that we can hear your opinions, your thoughts, and of course your experiences, and play your voice notes live on air.
And on social media, you can also get us on IG under Impact 103 to be exact. You can also find us on Facebook on Impact Live.
And our personal pages, Surviving Life with the Vambilis, you can just type in at the Vambilis and join all our discussions there as well.
We look forward to having these discussions with you on a weekly basis. Myself, Danny Vambili, and with my lovely wife,
Letitia Vambili. This is us signing off. Until next week.
Goodbye.